Thank God he rose from that grave so we can celebrate communion this morning, and it's real. Amen. It's not something we have to make up and try and manufacture. It's an actual fact. We've been studying the book of Acts in Wednesday night. And so Jesus promised them the Holy Spirit in Acts 1:8. Then in Acts 2, Peter tells them how they killed Jesus. He resurrected. In Acts 3, Peter tells them how they killed Jesus. He resurrected. In Acts 4, Peter tells them how they killed Jesus. He resurrected. In Acts 5, he tells them again. We'll find out what happened in Acts 6 this Wednesday. But the theme of the church is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which separates us from any other institution where our founder, you know, you look at other religions, and I'll tell you again that religions aren't valid based on followers. It's based valid. The validity is based on the founder. When you look at the founder of all these other religions, no one else resurrected from the dead. No one else said they were God. No one else proved it. No one else told us how we can have our sins forgiven. It's what separates Jesus Christ, the most compelling and figure in the history of mankind, Jesus Christ. Amen. So as we celebrate communion, let's keep that in mind and just bow your heads one quick minute. Lord, we thank you. We bless you. How you're mighty to save, how you rose from that grave, Lord. How it's not a hoax. It's not a joke. It's not mythology. It's not fiction, but it's fact. We thank you, Lord, that the physical evidence is there and the spiritual evidence is there. The circumstantial evidence is there. It points to a resurrected Savior. It points to the true and the living God, as we know to be Jesus Christ. And we thank you. Lord, we ask that you continue to speak to us through your word, Lord. Thank you for what's taken place already. Thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Lord. It illuminates the way as we try our best to navigate through a dark, dying, decaying, fallen world. Empower your people now, Lord, with your word through the power of your Holy Spirit, so we can live this thing, that we can be doers and not just hearers only, Lord. We love you on today. We're surrendered unto you today. Open our hearts and minds to receive your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. And you all have been doing, you know, I've been doing something different. Where we take communion at the end of service, and I've been just doing one message for communion, and so we'll continue with that this morning. Luke chapter 15 and verse 11. It's the story of the prodigal son, and most people say the prodigal son, but it's actually a story. I'm walking. I like I got my mic because I can walk and see what y'all are doing back here. And so, yeah, don't look right here. Okay. And so if you look at that scripture, the scripture says, and he said, this is Jesus telling the story. He just told the story of the lost sheep and the lost coin. Okay. A parable is a natural story with a spiritual concept, with a spiritual message. So Jesus taught in spiritual messages all the time. He taught in parables. So he just told him how the shepherd would leave the 99 and go get the one because it's that important. He talked about the lady when she lost that coin, she would leave all the other coins until she found that other one. And then he gives the parable to make it real, to make it understandable for us. So this is Jesus speaking. And he said, a certain man. Underline certain, because it's always certain people. You can't generalize. You can't say everybody. You can't say nobody, but it's just certain people. Certain people get saved. Certain people won't. Certain people respond to it. Certain won't. Certain won't. It speaks to the free will of man. How are certain people? You do what you want to do. Why? Because it's certain people and because God has given you free will. So it's always certain people. You just have to make sure that you're lined up with God. You can't judge your life based on other people. You have to judge your life based on God's standard. I don't care what anybody else is doing, because it's always certain people. It's between you and God. So Jesus always breaks it down. A lot of his parables start, there was a certain man. There was a certain woman. Not everybody. Not everybody's living raggedy, and not everybody's serving God. It's just certain people. Where you at? I don't know. That's between you and God. Amen? Amen. So this certain man, he had two sons. We talk about the prodigal son, but he actually had two sons. And most stories highlight the first son, who was the younger son. The one who said, I want what I got and I want to go do. I want what you have for me. We're going to get to that in a minute. Mm-hmm. Amen, parents. Wait till your kids come tell you, I want what's mine. You're going to give them what's yours. I'm going to tell you what to give them. Amen. Come talking that stuff. I want what's due to me. Okay. Are you sure? Just kidding, Jared. That's my other two. Not you. That's the two that's not here. That's not you. That's what other two that's not here, Jill, not you. You can ask anything, amen? But the one son, we kind of highlight him because he said, I want what's mine. And then you have the other son, who is really not highlighted. He kind of gets highlighted at the end, but they both have internal, let me see, because I wrote it down. I want to make sure I get it correct. They both have internal entitlement and pride issues. Both of them do. We focus on the younger one, but the older one is not much better. He's the quiet one. He's the one that goes through the motions, but he's just as distant and cold and callous towards his brother and towards God and his fellow man. And it's a dynamic with two brothers. They said all he had was two sons. Anybody have an older brother? Yeah. Anybody ever seen an older brother or somebody with an older brother, right? But it's a dynamic. Let me see your hands again. You have an older brother. All right, that's kind of cool. Anybody have younger brothers? All right. So, you know, there's certain things you share with your brothers and sisters. But in this particular case with brothers, that you really don't share with anyone else. It's experiences like when my mom was here, things that we never told mom, some things we still never told her, and some things we told her like 30 years later. Hey, mom, remember when? but it's a different dynamic. I had three older brothers, and I had my two sisters were born into my two younger brothers. So I know what it's like to have an older brother, and it's really cool. Sometimes they give you nicknames and all that kind of stuff, which I'm not going to disclose right now. But as I was studying this, I thought about these guys' relationship, and based upon the relationship, it must have been a lot of jealousy between the brothers. I have in my notes read this, so I got a lot of read this in my notes. So I'm going to be doing a lot of reading. It says, this parable shows that regardless of what you do externally, if we don't deal with the internal issues of the heart, we can go through the motions and go through life and be just as distant and cold and callous towards God and our fellow man or woman. We can go through the motions at home, at church, with our kids, on our job. We can pretend to like people and on the inside be non-caring and indifferent. And pretend that we are in the will of God. Do we really pray for others, or do we say, that's what you get? Then the question is, here it is. Are we genuinely concerned about our siblings, our parents, our friends, our community leaders, our pastor, our church family, our spouse? So here's the question. How much time did you spend in prayer this week for your lost, hurting, or struggling brother or sister? It says, read this. Let me read it again. How much time did you spend in prayer this week for your lost, hurting, or struggling brother? Now, I'd say that I don't know if the big brother, if he ever prayed for his little brother when he was lost and doing his own thing in a dying and decaying world. I don't think he ever prayed for it because he was upset. And we're not going to go too deep into that because we're going to focus on the younger brother. So I wanted to touch the big brother beforehand. It's a movie. I don't know which one it is. I hope JL can help me out with this. With Rocky four or Rocky three or four with Ivan Drago.
Oh, that was three.
Rocky three. Okay. Ivan Drago. All right. You all familiar with the Rocky series? Okay. So Rocky three, Apollo Creed, he got pride issues because he tell Rocky, whatever goes on, don't stop the fight. He's getting his head beat in. Okay. Rocky wants to throw in the towel, but before he could, Apollo takes that last punch, gets hit, and he dies. Or he's dying. And so Ivan Drago, I ain't going to fight nobody named Ivan Drago anyway. With a name like that, I'm staying away from that dude, okay? But Ivan Drago said, who knows the quote? Who's the Rocky III fan? What'd he say? Say it again, John.
If he dies, he dies.
If he dies, he dies. Indifferent, cold, callous, could care less. In this story, the bigger brother is Ivan Drago. When his little brother goes out, takes what he has, he could care less. And he is upset when he comes back. John, that's pretty good. If he dies, he dies. So here we go. Here's what I said. Read this. Did the big brother ever pray for his little brother who was lost in a dying and decaying world? God help us not to be indifferent towards our children. When they don't listen, don't be indifferent towards our children when they don't listen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Or towards our spouse when they don't agree with us or offend us or gets on our last nerve. We got a lot of big nerves in the body. I studied it. The body, but then it's that one little last tiny nerve. And when your spouse gets on that one, that's it. That's it. That's over. That's too much. So I'm saying, don't, Lord, help us not to be indifferent when they don't agree with us or offends us or get on that last little tiny nerve. Family, we can't park there. We can have an issue, but we can't park there. You can't go to the parking lot of indifference and put your car right in the front and say, I'm parked. Put it in park. I'm good. I'm staying here. Why not? Because God can reach anyone. He reached us, didn't he?
Amen.
Somebody say amen. If God can reach us, he can reach anybody. Somebody better say amen.
Amen.
So here we go. Verse 11. And he said, Jesus speaking, I love this. He said, and a certain man had two sons. Verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided them his living or his portion. Here's the entitlement. Here's the pride. Our kids, they just can't have regular shoes. What's the store we used to go to? Anybody remember Boys Market?
Yes.
We used to have the Boys Market specials. We didn't get the Adidas or the Stan Smith. What was the other shoes I always wanted? The NBAs, the Dr. J's. We went to Boys Market and got the Boys Market special. That's what we were, I don't know if we were entitled to, but that's all we could afford. This young man has entitled, God, Father, give me what is due to me. He had pride and entitlement issues. And I'm telling you, family, pride and entitlement issues will lead you down the wrong road each and every time. And parents, you know, we don't owe our kids anything, but but to train them up in the way they should go. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We're going to give them food. We're going to give them clothing. We're going to give them shelter until they are 18. Amen. There's a few conditions in there we can talk about later. You're going to school, you're still 18, you're following all the rules and all that kind of stuff. You can hang out a little while. Jill and I, we have this special relationship seeing as how she is the last one in the house. But you know we have the 18-30 rule,
yeah,
which is?
When you're 18, you have 30 days to go.
There you go. Amen. The 18-30 rule in Carter's house. When you get 18, you got 30 days to get out. She knows 18-30 rule. It ain't no give me what's mine. You got 18. You're 18, you got 30 days. That's what's yours. That's what you got. That's all you got. parents, that's what we are. I mean, what's this stuff? I want what's mine. Say that. Hey, what is, hey, we were talking about it yesterday. Martin said, you ain't got to go home, but you got to get out of here. Okay? Yeah, I don't know where you go, but you got to get out of here. That's all we owe. The food, clothing, shelter, to genuinely love and care for them. That's what we owe them. But to give them stuff that they didn't work for and to go and say, go live your life for the world and satisfy your flesh, I don't think so. But this is what he said. I want to live independently from authority. And family, you know how dangerous that is? I want to do my own thing. I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. I want to do my own thing. But it's another side of that coin. We flip the coin, bam, and it lands on the other side where the Father says, okay, which is a reflection of God. Speaks to the character and attributes of God. Attributes of God, bless you. God ain't going to force you to love him. God is not going to force you to stay and be obedient to him. God is not going to force you, bless you, to live the will that he has for your life. God didn't create robots no more than you birthed a robot. God didn't create a robot no more than you birthed a robot. God could have created us to do everything that we said when he said it, but then what's in that? That's a robot. That's not a human life. We have human life and we have free will. And the Father said, you want it and go? Go. God says, you want to do your own thing? You want to live the way you want to? Go do your thing. And we know from experience, this young man made it back, but everybody doesn't make it back. Oh, as a wise pastor once told me, there's a high cost to low living. Amen, Pastor Manny. Did I get it right, Pastor Manny? It's a high cost to low living?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You want to go do your own thing? Go ahead and do it. Everybody's not going to make it back. If you want to make a mess of your life, God is not going to stop you from doing your own thing. But here's the irony of it. It says, read this. We make our own choices and then we deal with the consequences of sin. How ironic that most people blame God for where they are in life. But remember, Adam did the same thing. Soon as he messed up, he wanted to blame God, the woman you gave me. As if it was God's fault for blessing him with a wife. And then he was disobedient. And so it's the result of the fall of man that we want to blame somebody else for the house that sin built. I have to write a book on that. I kind of like that title. The house that sin built, and you want to blame God for it. See, God didn't create a robot. We make our own choice. Then we build that house of sin and a house of cards, and it falls down. And then it's God's fault. Look at stay on the same page and look quickly at Luke 16 and 19. Look at Luke 16. And we've read this before, but I just want to show you, everybody don't make it back. The man who said, I'm going to build bigger barns, he didn't make it back. This rich man right here, look at verse 19, chapter 16, verse 19. I say that correctly, Luke. There was a certain rich man. See, it's always certain rich men. Or I should say certain men. It's not every rich man. It's not every poor man. But it's just certain ones. You got to make sure you're lined up with God. It's always certain ones. Stop trying to judge your life based upon what other people are doing. God is the standard, not other people. You're going to fail every time looking at man. You line it up with God, you're on the right track. You take your eyes off God, you're going down the wrong road again. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar. So a certain beggars, there's certain rich men, there's certain people. His name was Lazarus, which was laid at this gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dog came and licked his sores. Verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried into by the angels in Abraham's bosom. We call that paradise. The rich man died and was buried and in hell. See, he didn't make it back. Yes, there's life after death. You're either going to paradise or you're going to hell. And you can take your chance because God's not going to force you to love him or to serve him. Verse 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. You're not down there partying. You're not with the homies. You're not hanging out. You're not getting what y'all call it now, getting lit. Yeah, you're not turning hell up. You're getting burnt up. And you're lit, literally, on fire. And he sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Let's go back to Luke. Because we've already, Luke 15, we've already done that one. If you missed that Sunday, it is on the website. MP3 is there. Go listen to it. It is a dynamic message. Because he had five brothers and he was concerned about his family. Look at verse 13. At verse 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. Underline a far country. I don't care how far you try and go. It'll never be far enough where God can't reach you. Amen. Where God can't reach your heart. It'll never be far enough where you'll escape your consequences of sin. It'll never be that far. You can't take a vacation or a staycation from God. You can run, but you can't hide. He tried to go as far away as he could. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. It doesn't take long to waste your life hanging out with the wrong crowd. I'm going to tell you right now. It does not take a long time to waste your life hanging out with the wrong crowd. Verse 14. And when he had spent all he had, there arose a mighty. Isn't that something how it always starts off so fun, doesn't it? We're having just a great time. We talked about it last week, that sin is pleasurable for a season, but there's four seasons in a year. What do you do the other three seasons? He's partying like it's 1999, spends all he has, and then there's a famine. Now you have nothing, and he has nothing, and he's nothing. Just like we talked about last week in Daniel chapter 5 with the king Belshazzar, or Belshazzar, depending on who's pronouncing it. He was partying when he should have been praying, and he was feasting when he should have been fasting, and this guy was living riotously when he should have been reading, probably the Torah or something like that. He wasted it. So famine comes. Then verse 15, then he joined himself. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. Be careful who you join yourself with. And in desperation, I mean, you can, in desperation, say it. We will connect almost with anybody. And I'm telling you now, ladies, don't get so desperate that you just settle for any joker that's walking around or jokerette that's walking around. And men, don't get so desperate that you can't wait for the Proverbs 31 woman and you settle for the Proverbs 7 woman. If you haven't read it, read both of them. And then, ladies, make sure that you are the Proverbs 31 woman and not the Proverbs 7 woman. He's hanging out with the pigs, Pastor Manny. I got it right here in my notes. There's a high cost, quote Pastor Manny, there's a high cost to low living. Remind yourself every time you're tempted to do something. Our youngsters in school, every time they're trying to get you to do this and to do that, and everybody's doing it, and you're stuck in the mud. You're a Christian. You're this, that. You're a square. Remind yourself there's a high cost to low living. And where does this road lead to? Verse 16 said he gladly ate the food that the pigs were eating. And no man gave him nothing. When you're filled with entitlement, pride, arrogance, and selfishness, it will ruin relationships every time. Write them down. Entitlement, pride, arrogance, and selfishness will ruin a relationship. It will ruin your relationship with God and other people, your spouse, your kids, your family, your siblings. Somebody's filled with entitlement, pride, arrogance, and selfishness. So I wrote, read this. Family, we must remain humble as we journey together. Pride comes directly from Satan. It kills, it steals, and it destroys, not sometime, but every time. Look at verse 17. And we came to himself. Sometimes you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Sometimes you get tired of living the lie. He had the presence of mind to grab on to God. And that's why, family, the word tells us, and parents, train up your child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it. Because, see, if he didn't have any God in him, it was nothing for him to hold on to. Nothing for him to say, wait a minute. I remember going to South Bay Abundant Life Church when I was a kid. And they talked about God. I didn't listen then. But God, if you're real, I need you now. I remember my parents would make us read and make us pray, and I didn't believe it. But now, God, I need your help. If there's nothing there, there's nothing to call on to. That's why you train them up even when they don't want it. Because it's going to come a time when they need it. And hopefully they'll have the presence of mind. Remember, everybody's not going to make it back, youth. So don't say, oh, I can go out and do my thing and I'll make it back when I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Everybody's not going to make it back. If I were you, I wouldn't take the chance. But then again, we got free will. So we do our own thing. Some of us that are older, we know we ain't got much time left. We ain't got many more chances left. I wouldn't recommend it. I really wouldn't. You know we on borrowed time. Amen. Every day is such a gift. Wake up like, okay, Lord, thank you. I don't think I got time to take a chance. And then look at verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's house? Now, Jesus is teaching and he's shifted to his father's house. And he's, and we know the Father is our heavenly Father. If you picked up on the brother, the older brother is one of the Pharisees, always trying to do right and look right, but inside dead man's bones. And Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. I wonder if they even realized he was talking about them with all that self-righteousness. So here is in verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare? The servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned. Look what it comes back to. It comes back to sin and repentance. It's the only thing that separates us from God, that we don't confess and forsake. We want to cover and run as opposed to confess and repent. We want to cover up, run and hide. He finally came to himself and said, I know I got to come clean. Verse 18, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. Number one, it's against God first. We found that out in Acts chapter 5 with an Ananias and Sapphira. When they lied, it said, no, you didn't lie to man, you lied to God. Why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? So when you're hiding and you're playing games, you think you got your parents' food, you think you got your spouse food, you think you got this food and the job, people on the job, they'll never know. And God's looking at you like, okay, all right, you're not really playing with them, you're playing with me. He said, I have sinned against God and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. doesn't even think he's worthy to be called a child of God. And sometimes we can do things and we can think, God could never love me. Look how I'm living. But it's not about you. It's the grace of God. If it was based on what we did, nobody could make it. Speaks to the attribute of God, that God, he loves us. He wants us to confess and forsake the sin and have fellowship with him. You can never be so bad that God wouldn't want you. You can never get so low that God couldn't reach you. You could never be so high where you wouldn't need God. And God is always, look at, and then here's a picture of God. Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. God has been waiting for you and I for a long time. And look, God ran to him. God's been waiting for you. God's running towards you, and you keep running from God. We got to start running to God. And when we see the people, when we see our brother who maybe has wronged us, who's been out doing their own thing, we got to run to them with the love of God. Let me say that when we see our brothers and our sisters who maybe wronged us and stabbed us in the back, we got to run to them with the love of God. Amen. That's a little better. I know that's a tough one. Hey, that's real talk. See, because this is what we got to. We have to operate with the character of God, right? Where God's love and inclusion, God said, whoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Love, inclusion, forgiveness, grace, mercy. God just spoke of that in Luke 15, 1 through 10. So when we understand the characteristics and attributes of God, then God says, go and do likewise. We have to extend love and forgiveness and grace and mercy. When someone says, I'm sorry, forgive me and pray for me, then we got to extend the same thing that you and I would hope to receive from God. That's what Jesus is trying to teach the Pharisees. He's talking about why. Look at verse 15 and 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans, or the publicans and sinners, to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured and said, this man, he receives sinners and he's eating with them. And then Jesus had to speak the parable unto them. Because they're trying to say, what are you doing hanging out with those type of people? Well, look at it. Look who you eating with. If you knew what type of people they were, you wouldn't even hang out with them. He says, let me teach you a story. And so we have to extend the same type of love, family. Forget people for a minute and what they did to you, and extend the grace, the love, and mercy of God extended to you and I. That's a tough one, I know, but that's why this word is sharper than a two-edged sword. Because God requires us to live this thing and not just come on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday. This is the easiest time to live it, from 9 to 10:30 on Sunday morning. Praise the Lord. I'm good. This is when it gets real. He sees him when he's afar off. Compassion runs to him, kisses him. And God would say, family, go and do likewise. Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, father, I have sinned. Look, he repented against God, to God, and to his father. And the son said unto him, father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called your son. But, thank God for the buts. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. The ring signifying the covenant, and shoes because he didn't have any because he lost everything. And remember, when we were in Daniel, they put on Daniel, a gold chain. So you get chains. You serve God, you get chains and rings and stuff, man. So, no, that's another type of gospel. But anyway, We're not preaching that here. But he dressed as, look how God loves you. And we're all afraid of God. I did this so God's not good. God wants you to come running to him as he's trying to run to you and bring you back into the fold and back into fellowship with him. In verse 23, and bring here the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Why? Because for this my son was dead. He was dead in his sins. Make no mistake, if you haven't confessed your sins and forsaken them, if you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart, you are dead. Based on Ephesians 2:2, you are the living dead. We know last week was Halloween. Yes, there was a lot of real zombies and pretend zombies, but they were out there. You are the living dead. My son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. All right, we got to cut it off. I told you we're not going to get into the older son, but look at verse. Now his older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house. He heard music and dancing. Amen? Amen. It's okay to have music. We talked about that before. It's just a certain type of music. Amen? Amen. Called one of his servants, asked, what was these things? And he said unto him, your brother's come, and your father had killed the fatted calf because he received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and begged him. See that? Had he ever prayed for his brother who was lost? Did he care about his soul, about what's happening to him? Now, obviously, he's going to say, well, he was out hanging out with hoes and doing this and drinking. So he was asking about him, but he never cared about him. He knew what he was doing, but he didn't care about him. So let me finish with this, and then we're going to take communion. As we're looking at communion, I said, read this. The father restored him. So not only did he forgive his son, but he restored him with the robe and with the ring. You're right back where you left. It's called restoration. So here's the assignment. Pray for restoration for your family. Don't just pray for healing and fellowship, but pray for restoration. Pray for restoration in your marriage and in your other relationships. All right. This is the month of Thanksgiving. Start praying for restoration now and extend grace, love and mercy at the Thanksgiving table in a couple of weeks. Y'all know y'all going to be eating with folks y'all don't even like. Only reason that you praying is that you praying that you get through Thanksgiving with them at the table. But just like God extended his love and grace and mercy towards the son, we have to extend that same mercy and grace to others. And as we prepare to take communion, just think about what the communion table represents, how God extended that love, that mercy, and that grace to us. Said, do this in remembrance of me. And I'm challenging us all to do that. Not only at the Thanksgiving table, but at every table, extend the love, the grace, the restoration to your family. Amen. Pastor Manny, Brother Clarence, come on up. And John, if you all would give us something musically, I'll take anything. Healer, anything. Awesome God, anything. And bow your heads as we prepare to take communion. It's the first. Can you believe it? It is the first Sunday in November. Happy New Year. Year is gone. And God has allowed us to still be here. Hey, Natalie, why don't you take it to, was it 1 Corinthians 11, 23? 1 Corinthians 11, 23. I'm going to walk back here to see who's sleeping back here, who's awake. I'm watching. Y'all too much. For I received also of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night when he in which he was betrayed, took bread. 24, Natalie. And when he had given thanks, listen to what happened. He was betrayed, but he was able to give thanks the same night. Didn't say a week later, didn't say 2 days later, but on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." On the same night which he was betrayed. So family, as the music is playing and you're receiving the sacraments, the word tells us that we can't ask God to forgive us if we haven't forgiven others. So if it's anybody that's wronged you, anybody that's betrayed you, ask God to help you forgive them. You got to let it go. If you want the love and the grace that's extended from God, then we have to forgive. It is a commandment. Thank you, brothers. 25, Natalie. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had drank, saying, "This cup is New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." That's why we take communion once a month. You can take it as often as you like, but it reminds you. God's not surprised by the earthquakes and the wars and the rumors of wars and the election and the confusion. God said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Put your life in biblical perspective. Stop falling apart because the world is falling apart. Do this in remembrance of me. Don't forget what I've done. Don't forget that I'm coming back for you. Don't let this world get you all shaken up. Do this in remembrance of me. I'm the King. I'm the living God. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. Remember who you serve. Thanks, brothers. God is not surprised by anything that's taking place in America or anywhere else in the world. That's why he told us, do this in remembrance of me. And as crazy as this world is, we need to do it every day. But as a church, we do it once a month to put our life back in biblical perspective. That Jesus Christ died for our sins, rose again on that third day. And we've been doing it. The church has been doing it for 2016 years. And it's a reminder and a promise that Jesus Christ is coming back for us. Elevate that which represents his body. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We bless you. We love you. That you had to pay a physical price for us to be free. Your body was broken and beat and hung on that cross so that we could have life and that more abundantly. We'll never be able to tell you that you don't know what it was like to be in pain, to be hurt, to be beat, to be betrayed. You'll say, stop right there. You'll probably tell us to shut up. We'll never be able to tell you you don't know what it's like to deal with people. We'll never be able to tell you that. Because you were at your best when people were at their worst and they killed you. So we elevate that which represents your body, and we know you paid a price for it, and we'll never forget. You died for us. The least we can do is live for you. Go and eat that which represents his body. Elevate that which represents his blood. The Bible teaches us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. If something didn't die, you can't be forgiven. In the old days, they had to kill pigeons and lambs and goats and turtles and turtle doves and all kind of stuff. For the sin offering and the trespass offering and the peace offering and the burnt offering. But Jesus Christ died once and for all. The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Lord, thank you for dying on that cross and shedding your blood for our sins, that we could be free. Thank you for saving us from death, hell, sin, and the grave. Thank you that this gives us the power to live right. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that we are forgiven, that we are cleansed, not because of what we've done, but because of what you've done. We're surrendered to you. We're committed to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go on and drink that which represents his body and his blood. Pass your cups down to the center aisle. Thank you, Lord, that you're an awesome God, that you extend grace and mercy, love and forgiveness, restoration. Now, Lord, we pray that you would bless us as we leave this place, but not your presence. Cover and keep us, Lord. Let us live this thing. Let us extend love and mercy and grace. Let us know that we could never be so far away from you that you could never pull us in. We could never be so bad that you would say, I don't want you. And we could never get so high that you couldn't bring us down to our knees. Bless your people, Lord. Reveal yourself to us in a real way this week. Give us traveling graces and journey mercies. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed.